Just as a reminder for everyone that's on the phone so far, we are recording this call so we can add it to the website. I hope everyone's having a great St. Patrick's Day and the luck of the Irish to everyone on the call. We will start in 1 minute. Also, as a reminder, if anyone wants to speak, you need to be off of speakerphone and either be using the telephone headset directly, the handset or a headset. All right, it's 12 o'clock. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Again, luck of the Irish to everyone. I'm wearing my green and my shamrocks. I hope you guys are too. And I hope you have lots of luck with canvassing this week. The reason that I chose Jump In by Mark Burnett were a few reasons I shared with you on the email. The first one is on April 2nd, a few of us are going to be participating in a ropes course. And I would tell you that in my business career and possibly my personal life, one of the things that made the most impact on me personally and business-wise with my self-confidence was participating in a ropes course. You do some things physically, and they challenge you mentally, and it is just a phenomenal experience. So anyone that has never experienced something like a ropes course, go to the website, check it out, and if you want to join, we're only 20 of us will be able to do it. If you're interested, go to the website, check it out, and it's a real big confidence booster. So I know there's a lot of leasing directors on the phone call. If you guys have anyone on your team that you think, you know, needs an injection of self-confidence, have them join us because it's phenomenal. It'll change your life, and it changed mine when I did it many years ago, and I'm excited to do it again. I hope at 50 I can do some of the physical challenges that I could do when I was 30, but time will tell on that. So anyway, I liked the title, Jump In, because on the ropes course we do some jumping, and also for the reasons that, you know, it's a rags to riches story. Here's a guy who came from London, wanted to fulfill his American dream, started selling T-shirts on the beach. He was a nanny. And now he's one of the most powerful entertainment brokers in the world. I mean, he did something called the Eco Challenge, and then he went on and did Survivor, where everyone thought he was crazy. And then he got Donald Trump to agree to do The Apprentice. And in the book, it talks about how many, many networks and producers and directors had tried to get Trump to do the reality show. And Mark Burnett, the author of the book, was the one guy who convinced him. And anybody that can convince Donald Trump to do something, you know, I think we all have something to learn from. And I certainly, you know, learned a lot from reading the book the last time I read it and then again this time. In my goals always, as I share with you guys, is if everyone walks away with one idea, it doesn't need to be a new idea. Maybe it's just an idea you've heard before, but you forgot about. It's kind of like, you know, where the pro football players or the pro basketball players, every year they go back to basic training. Sometimes there's certain concepts that we've forgotten about and we could be reminded about that can improve our results on a daily basis. So that being said, I start Jump In on page 6, and one of his bullet points that he talks about is everyone gets knocked down. The difference is what's important is how you get back up and getting back up. And, you know, most of us on the call are in commercial real estate. I know I have some insurance salespeople on the call, but it's we all do prospecting, and whether it's cold calling or canvassing, you know, those of us, we get rejected all the time, but it's the one, those of us that keep going and make that, you know, that 4:45, that last call or two, that's what separates the men from the boys or the girls from the women. So, you know, we all get knocked down. You know, we get rejected on a daily basis. You know, the national retailers tell us no on our sites all the time, but timing is everything. And the national retailer who told us no last month, you know, Walmart told me 2 years ago, and I told my client, just wait, they'll be back. And it looks like, you know, now they'll be back again. So timing is everything. Just, you know, it's important in how you take the rejection and in how fast you get back up, and we all need to remember that. And someone once told me, I think I went to a seminar, I think it was Tom Hopkins, and he said, for every no, say thank you, you know, calculate your average commission. Let's say your average commission is $2,000, and, you know, for every no, you know, if you divide 50 no's before you get a yes, you know, you say thank you for the $40 for every no, because the closer you know, the more no's you get, the closer you get to the yes. So, how you get up. Number, page 12 talks about intuition. And, you know, he says, you got to believe in yourself. And that goes back to this ropes course. When you, after jumping off a 30-foot pole, and I don't want to scare the people on the call that have height problems, and if you have severe height problems, we'll talk later about conquering your fear. But when you leave that ropes course, you believe 100, 1,000, 10,000% you believe in yourself, because you can't believe some of the things that you've done in this challenge. So believing in yourself and believing in your intuition helps so often, especially when you're meeting new people and you're trying to learn, you know, what makes them, what helps them make their decisions, what helps them pick their sites. But believe in yourself, and if you think you can do something. I had a deal once where I needed to get 8 deed restrictions lifted to make a Walgreens deal, and my attorney told me I couldn't do it. The Walgreens people told me I couldn't do it. Some of my partners told me, you know, don't waste your time. It'll never get done. You'll never get 10 deed restrictions and land use restrictions lifted. But I, you know, one day at a time, one property at a time, and in the end, I got all 8 deed restrictions lifted. You know, I probably got some gray hairs in the process, but, you know, believe in yourself and you can accomplish anything. And, you know, some of you on the phone I coach, and I tell you this all the time, you know, just because the property manager, you know, says some negative comment to you, or the retailer doesn't call you back, but you know, you just need to keep believing in yourself and having passion, and you'll accomplish great things. So believe in yourself no matter what anyone else says. On page 13, it talks about overanalyzing. I used to have a leasing agent that he would every, you know, do 3 or 4 LOIs. And I go, just get the LOI out. You know, make sure you have all of the points on there. But if it's not 100% perfect, you know, just get it out already. And, you know, you can't be so detailed and so caught up in the details and overanalyze. You know, they say overanalysis leads to paralysis. Don't get paralyzed. Get the deal done. You know, don't be so focused on, well, what area am I going to canvass and how many retailers am I going to canvass? Print the flyers, get in your car, and go to an area and canvass. But if you sit in the office for 2 hours figuring it out and overanalyzing it, you'll never leave the office. And he talks about that. Don't overanalyze. Page 17. Gut instinct. It goes about that, and it talks about not repeating mistakes. You know, mistakes are good. I tell my kids all the time, take a chance, make a mistake. If we make a mistake, though, let's not repeat the mistake. But I think more people learn from mistakes than they learn from successes. So, and that's a big theme in this book about jumping in. You know, jump in. It's okay to take chances. It's okay to have a dream and fulfill the dream. If it doesn't work out, think about all the things you can learn. I used to joke, you know, all the time. Look at how much we're learning. Every time there would be a problem or a challenge or an obstacle, just think how much we're learning. My team, you know, would roll their eyes at me. But your gut instinct, what I find with my gut instinct now, and again, I'm a lot older than many of you on the call, it never steers you wrong. If you feel something's wrong in your gut or you feel something's right in your gut, go with it, because 9 times out of 10, it's going to work out for you. On page 18, it talks about failure is not fatal, it's merely a setback. So keep that in mind. So, again, many of you, you guys all know I'm a canvassing junkie. I love to canvass. I try to canvass myself every week, and I canvass with some of you when we have, you know, dates to canvass. Just because the guy says no today doesn't mean he's not going to say yes in the future. I've had many, 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 many retailers that I've canvassed and canvassed and canvassed, and eventually they say yes. So it's not fatal. It's just a setback. Keep going back. If you have a gut instinct that tenant would be perfect for your shopping center, be passionate about it. Believe in yourself. Be respectful, but be consistent. And be persistent. So keep going back. Send that person articles of interest. I'm working on a carpet guy that I'm trying to get into a shopping center. And one of my proteges, he might be on the call, sent an article via email that he saw. I don't think it was in Globe Street. It was in some article that he found online. And it talked about how people are improving, doing home improvements. And I printed the article and I dropped it by. And the last 3 times I've been in the store, he's been too busy to see me, took by the article, and, you know, he took 10 or 15 minutes. And now I find out when his lease is up. So letting them know that it's not all about you, and you do think about them, and you do little things like that by dropping off articles or emailing articles, it goes a long way, because it goes back to what we've talked about in the last two book clubs about thinking of the other person and them liking and trusting you. And how do they like and trust you? If you are thinking about them and not just yourself and not just your shopping center and not just your deal and not just your next commission. Think about them. Page 19. My mom, I learned my work ethic from my mom. And my mom, from I think the age of 11, taught me, you know, don't wait for your boss to tell you what to do. Look for things to do and then do them. And he talks a lot about this, that, you know, he, in all of his early positions, he found areas that were in need, and he talks about his team where, you know, there was a problem or there was something happened and a teammate or a team member stepped up and solved the problem. They didn't wait for the boss to ask them to do it. They solved the problem that everyone knew was a problem and there wasn't anyone to handle it. If that's going on in your company and you know there's a problem and there's no one to solve it, but you have an idea, then go and solve the problem or go to your boss and say, hey, there's this problem, but I think I have an idea and I want to run with it, and do it. And don't wait for your boss to tap you on the shoulder to say, hey, can you solve this problem? If you see the problem and you have an idea, go for it. What's the worst that could happen? Trust me, I've done that in my career where I've seen a need and I have tried to resolve the problem or the obstacle and tried to fulfill the need, and that helped me propel in my career. And that was something my mom always taught me, don't wait for the boss to tell you what to do. Look for something to do and solve it. And I thought when I was reading that, I thought about my mom. Page 20 talks about don't bail, you know, and never expect someone to bail you out and not having a safety net. It's so easy to have a safety net. It's so easy, you know, and in my own personal career, for many years I had a safety net, and it was difficult when all of a sudden I didn't have that safety net anymore, but it really helps you grow, and I encourage all of you guys with growth, to step out and, like he says in the book, jump in with 2 feet and figure it out, and don't always rely on the safety net. you'll grow further in your career if you don't rely on that safety net. Page 21, you know, obviously my mantra, don't fear rejection. Don't fear rejection. This is a gentleman who owned a property, and a small property. He had a couple of vacancies, couldn't find an outsourced leasing agent to work with him on his project because it was small, and most of, you know, the brokerage firms in town want larger portfolios to lease. So he and I just went out canvassing one day, and he had never done it before. And, you know, he's the owner of the shopping center, and, you know, basically it's, let's, you know, we're not going to do a deal today. We're not going to go knock on a retailer door and get him to sign a lease today. So let's just take that out of the equation. We know that's not going to happen. So if we don't come back with a signed lease, we won't feel like we failed. Our job in canvassing is education. What can we learn about the property? What can we learn about what tenants are looking for? Let's educate ourselves by going into 40 retailers and learning over the next 4 or 5 hours. And when you put that spin on it for a person who is more of an accountant type or a lawyer type, not salespeople like us, you know, we learn so much. And at the end of the day, he said, you know, that wasn't that bad. And I was so afraid that everyone was just going to slam the doors on our faces. And I don't think it happened once. So we can't fear rejection, because if we fear rejection, we'll sit in our office all day in our cubicle and never go out. And then we won't lease space, and we won't produce results for our clients and our bosses and our owners. And, you know, then we won't have jobs, and we'll be out on the unemployment line. So get out and jump in. Self-doubt. You know, this goes back to the same thing. Don't let negative thoughts clutter your mind. You know, believe in yourself. Believe in yourself. Go knock on the doors. Go make that call to the national retailer that you don't know. Go to the national retailer's headquarters in Dallas or Detroit or Cleveland. You know, just have belief in yourself, and any inner voice that taunts you or puts some negative thoughts in your head, you just got to erase them, and you got to keep saying positive things and fake it till you feel it. Fake it until you feel it. And no, you know, in 23 he says no doesn't mean no. People told, when he was pushing, trying to get the Survivor show on, he went to every network, and every network turned him down. The only way that he got the show approved was his daughter, I think, saw the show in another market, and then I guess the daughter of a network producer saw the show in another market and said, you know, you really should take a look at this show, and that's how they got it. That's how that particular network got it. So, and again, we have all experienced situations where the retailer has told us no 5 times, and the 6th time, you know, was the key. I have a client that I think I shared the story last month or the month before. We walked into her space. She was a fitness studio, and she practically spit at me. And, I don't know, doing this for 25 years, if I would have gone back to her, but my client, who heard me say, if you really want the retailer, you got to get 5 no's, on subsequent visits, kept going into her space. And about a month or 6 weeks later, he called and said, guess what? I have a $37,000. And I said, from who? And he told me, the fitness studio lady. I couldn't believe it. And she has turned out to be an unbelievable ambassador for this particular property, and is helping. She's like an extension of the leasing team. And had someone told me that after that first visit, when she practically spit at me, she was so mad when we walked in because she was having a class and we kind of interrupted her, I would never have believed it. But he listened to my advice. He listened to, you know, you got to get 5 no's before you give up on the prospect that you really believe in. And now she signed, I think it was a 4,300 square foot space in a 45,000 square foot shopping center. So 10%, it was a big deal, and she has been an unbelievable asset to have for all subsequent tenants signing up. So no never means no, you know, and sometimes you just have to change the message or learn what they're looking for and come back with different information. Page 23, he talks about, as we have also in the past, that people buy from people that they consider friends, that they like and trust. And you guys have heard me say that umpteen times. You know, if they don't like you and trust you, if when you walk in they don't know your name, you haven't made the impact. You've got to keep getting into the store so when they walk in they say, oh, Mary, I still don't want ABC Shopping Center. Until you've made that impact where they connect your face with your shopping center or with what you're selling, you've not made the impact. And if you haven't made the impact, they can't like and trust you. So, you know, if you're canvassing 100 people a week, I'm not telling you you've got to do this with 100 people, but you need to pick the five that you think is perfect for your shopping center, and those are the ones that you keep going back to consistently and respectfully. And those are the ones that you take by the article that you see in the newspaper or online that you think reflects with their business. Those are the people, because those are the ones that probably no doesn't mean no. You know, one of my clients called me last week and said that he'd been canvassing a user who Lisa's coming up, and he hadn't been able to make an impact with, he hadn't been able to get that guy to commit to relocating. The guy was very happy in the location. But another person called him last week and said, hey, this so-and-so called me and told me I should call you because I'm looking for space. So this is a guy, because another guy liked and trusted him, even though he didn't make a deal with that guy, he referred him to someone else. So the more people that you can spread the word about your shopping center, and the more people that like you and trust you, those become lease extensions of you yourself, you, your leasing agent, and they become additional leasing agents and a leasing team for you. Another thing I've been doing lately, especially in these small towns, these secondary markets, is I've been going to all the residential real estate offices and going in and meeting with the broker and giving them 50 flyers. And because, you know, in these smaller towns, maybe the bigger third-party brokerage houses aren't there. Maybe they're not. They don't have a presence. And the smaller commercial houses, it depends. If you have a 45,000-square-foot center and you have five vacancies, maybe they don't give you the time or the attention you want them to. So what I've done is gone into these residential houses where they're very slow right now, obviously, like residential in Fort Myers, not a lot going on. But you go in there and you say, look, I'm going to give you guys $1 a square foot, and all you have to do is bring me the lead. And if the lead happens and, you know, they're qualified and I do a deal with them, I'm going to give your agent in your house $1 a square foot. So what that does is whether there's 3 agents or 10 agents or 20 agents, you know, those are an extension of your company and your leasing team, and they're in the market more than I'm in the market because it's a secondary or ancillary market for me, and that's helped me a lot, and I've gotten some leads. I haven't closed a deal yet from it, but we've definitely gotten leads, and that's, you know, that's the first step to get the leads. Again, on page 23, it talks about playing to your audience and keeping your ego in your pocket. You know, it says, he says that motivated customers are leaders. They want the salesman to be passive. He said, when that sort of situation arises, I put my ego in my pocket. I let the customers be the boss. And he goes on to say that's hard sometimes for guys to do, and that sometimes women have an easier time with that. So you guys on the phone, think about that. And I see that too. I see that sometimes guys don't want to be vulnerable. You know, it's so important when you walk into the spaces and you're talking to the retailers to ask them questions and not tell them. Ask them about their business. Ask if it would be helpful for them to be in a public shopping center. Don't tell them. And I see the ladies doing that a lot. So keep that in mind. Put your ego in your pocket. The customers are always right. You want them to show you how smart they are. They don't care how smart you are. And I know that's challenging. All of us salespeople have egos. I have a huge ego. But when you're selling and you're trying to get them interested in your shopping center, you need to pay attention to that. He also talks about picking a mentor. You know, he had a mentor, and the mentor told him, remember to delegate and remember that you can't do everything. And he took that to heart, and the guy, he ended up buying, I think, a house in Hawaii next to his mentor. So We've talked about mentors before. I hope you all have one. I've had mentors throughout my whole career and continue to have mentors, and I don't know what I would do without my mentors. Page 28, this goes along with what I was just saying about kind of the guys and the girls. He talks about, and this I see this too with rookies, and this goes back to the story I said about the fitness woman. He says, coupled with great enthusiasm, naivete can be a strength. And that is so true. When I train rookies and I work with rookies, their enthusiasm coupled with them being naive, they can get so many retailers interested, more so than those of us that have been jaded. Like I said, I probably wouldn't have gone back to the fitness studio, but because my ego or, you know, whatever. But here this guy was, he was new doing this, and he went back because I told him he had to get five no's. So sometimes the rookies can show all of us old people up. So, you know, their enthusiasm is phenomenal. They're hungry, and they just don't know better. And they're okay. They're okay with making mistakes. And some of us oldies but goodies need to know and remind ourselves it's okay to make mistakes, and it's okay to reach out and do some things that are new and different. So, sorry about that. I don't know why that keeps coming up. On 31, he talks about results are key. Results are what's important, not appearance, not. So he says, I feel sometimes I waste my time in over preparing. He says, sometimes I just need to follow my example of jumping in and not over preparing. Not that preparation isn't important, but he says over preparing can be the kiss of death. He says, don't dwell on the past, don't dwell on past rejections, don't dwell on past failures, you know, learn from them and move on. On page 65, he talks about negativity draining energy. We talked about that before. If you're in your office and there's someone talking negative, just walk away. Just say, I got to go make some phone calls. You know, people call me and go, I've had a bad week, I've had a lot of rejection, what should I do? I say, go out canvassing. You know, and it's amazing how they'll call me 3 hours later and say, I just found a great prospect. I don't know if they'll do a deal, but I learned a lot. You know, getting out of the office, getting away from people that are negative or that, you know, say canvassing doesn't work or, you know, I'm having a bad day, just get away from it. It just, all it is negativity breeds negativity. Never complain and never explain. I love that, and I know the leasing directors on the phone are going to love me telling you guys that. Never complain and never explain. You know, just move on and get your work done and get your job done, because we don't want to hear complainers and we don't really care about the explanations. Just move on. On page 41, I love this. He talks about in negotiating, sometimes humor goes a long way, and you know, just make them laugh. If there is a way that you can make them laugh and take kind of the heat out of the moment, he says, my top negotiating secret is if all else fails, make them laugh. And I find that a lot too. And that goes back to them liking you and trusting you and you doing your due diligence in advance to know things that are important to them, so that when you're in the heat of the negotiation, you can talk about something other than the deal to just kind of get everyone back on track. On page 51, he talks about if you're not failing enough, you're not taking enough chances, and he talks about Babe Ruth, who failed 70% of the time up at bat, and he was the number one home run hitter. So, again, and that goes back to canvassing, you know, you're going to get three or four you know, interested prospects. You know, someone said, well, I canvassed once or twice, it didn't work for me. Well, if you did it once or twice, it's not going to work. It wouldn't work for me. So you've just got to go out and do it, and you got to do the numbers. I loved this on page 84, and I never thought about this before. And he talks about when he was pitching The Apprentice, how he needed to pitch in person, and he talks about this in the whole chapter about, first of all, he says, practice your pitch on unsuspecting friends, which I think we can all do, But then he says, you know, be bold, exude confidence, you know, instill others with confidence, which, you know, is one of my former mentors. That was a big thing that he would always say, instill others with your confidence. But he talks about if you've got a pitch and it's an important pitch, don't do it over the phone, don't do it in writing. A lot of you send me emails and go, so I'm going to send this to the, you know, these 10 retailers, and it's this very wordy email document with, you know, your flyer attached. And I know that with national retailers, it's not like you can go down the street and canvas them. But you certainly can meet them at retailer one-on-one. You can meet them in Vegas. You know, if your budget allows, you can go to their markets. And I'm not saying to disregard emails. I'm just saying that if you can get in front of them and you can show them a map with their competition and with their other locations and show your shopping center is a hole in their donut, or that your shopping center is an alternative for a potential relo, doing it in person, you know, face to face, and creating the relationship is going to help you 100 times over than, you know, the one of 50 emails that retailer gets on a daily basis. On page 95, he talks about turning your anxiety into excitement. You know, in my new world of doing a lot of this speaking and training, sometimes I get anxious when I'm walking into a new client's office. You know, we all do, doing things that are new and fearful. I said to a friend of mine, you know, I'm scared about this. I'm going to be a keynote speaker for 6 hours. You know, I'm nervous. I'm going to run out of things to say. Not that I did, but you know. And she said, you know, if you're not afraid, you're not growing. And I loved that, and that was so true because absolutely I was growing doing that. And he talked about that. If you're anxious and you've got your stomach gurgling a little bit or butterflies in your stomach, turn that energy into excitement, and that will come out and people will feel it, and you know, it'll work for everyone. So, you know, I've experienced that recently and personally. Change your mind when you know you should. You know, if you're doing something, you know, when you go canvassing and your property is quoting $18 a square foot, and you know your first three tenants in the shopping center, they tell you they're paying $8 to $10, or you figure that out, you need to move on and stop wasting your time. You know, I talk a lot about, you know, people call and say, I'm having a problem closing this deal. Well, how many times have you showed the guy the space? 10. And I'm exaggerating to make a point, but you know, you got to know when to cut the bait and move on. So it's okay to move on, and you know, when someone says, I have a hard time closing this deal, my response is usually it probably wasn't a deal to begin with. So talk to your leasing directors, or leasing directors, talk to your teammates. If for some reason the deal is taking forever and ever and ever, my guess is if we all drill down, it's probably not a deal to begin with. And let's focus our energy on a deal that's probably more likely to happen. On page 99, he says, don't fight the boss. I'm all about hearing someone's different opinion, but if you give me your opinion and I tell you this is my decision, please don't fight with me. And again, I know some of you leasing directors on the phone have shared with me stories. Just move on, because I want your energy reserved for the prospecting and the closing of the deals, and fighting your boss isn't getting you anywhere. And I'm sure, you know, everyone's willing to listen once or twice, but the third time it's going to get old, and when they see you coming in their office, you know, they're not happy about it. And you don't want your boss to see you walk in the office and think, we don't want them to think negative thoughts either, because then they're not going to approve your deals. So stop fighting the boss. You know, they're the boss. They're there for a reason. They got there through their hard work and effort. You know, and some of you rookies who call me and say, you know, I'm not happy with the deal structure. Those of you on the call that, you know my response, it's not a nice one. So being a rookie in our business, you need to be grateful every day that there's a company like yours giving you the opportunity. I was given an opportunity. Many of us were given opportunities, and we need to be grateful for that. And if I know I sound like I'm preaching, but there's so many companies out there that don't give rookies the opportunity, so please don't fight the boss. Sometimes you just need a change. He talks about that. You know, he talks about recharging our batteries and doing something new, and that's what happened after Survivor. You know, after, I guess, 8 seasons of Survivor, it got a little old, and that's when he started thinking about Apprentice. By the way, for any of you that don't know it, I tried out for Apprentice in 2004. You know, I didn't get a call back, but I had a great time in the casting process, and if anyone ever wants to talk to me about that, you know, grab me at a ICSC or call me. It was a lot of fun. Goals. And we all know, if next to canvassing, what's my big passion, and that's goal setting. He talks about on page 108 to revel in the smaller goals that you achieve. You know, accomplishing goals is sometimes a long, drawn-out process. It's easy to lose heart. He said celebrate the little victories and definitely benchmark your progress. Be an optimist. Be a dreamer. You know, celebrate your successes, but always keep your eyes on that far goal, and you will achieve it. He talks about winners are flexible. He says expect the unexpected. You know, be flexible and expect the unexpected. There's always an answer or a solution to an obstacle or a problem, and sometimes problems help you become more creative. So embrace that. Embrace that the deal that you thought was going to get signed today has this new obstacle, and embrace how your creativity is going to get it closed, because that would make you more valuable on your team, for your company, for the asset, for the owner. He talks about facing your fears. You know, for any of you that have height fears, please join us on April 2nd for the ropes course, because trust me, your fears will go away. Embrace your fears, and your fear robs you from power. So April 2nd, come on the ropes course. If you have a fear of heights, I promise you that will go away, and you'll just leave so unbelievably empowered and refreshed. On 154, he talks about the sleep monster. When the sleep monster comes to get you, watch out. I don't know about you guys, but the sleep monster has come to get me in many of a Vegas show. And now that I'm much older, I really have my 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock rule, except for maybe one night, the Hendon party. But I still try to get back to my room by midnight, and I am way older than the majority of you on the call. But when the sleep monster gets you, and you're once a year, and even with Orlando, twice a year, you have the opportunity to be in front of these national and regional retailers, you don't want the sleep monster to get you at that 9 a.m. meeting. God forbid being late. So pay attention to the sleep monster. If you need 8 hours or 6 hours or 10 hours, then you should get it, because your career follows you forever, and what you do follows you forever. So don't blow important meetings on the two most important meetings, at least for those of you that are in retail real estate. You know, get to bed early. You can party when you get home, or go to Vegas at another time and party. But that's not the time that you should be, you know, rolling in with 3 hours sleep. And trust me, I've had a lot of experience with my teams on that. And, you know, they're humorous stories, but they're sad stories as well. On 159, he actually says that he, or in his nanny days, read Trump's deal, The Art of the Deal, and that propelled him and motivated him to, you know, not to do stuff in real estate, and that's what I like about this book club, is we can read books on all different industries, whether it's Zappos shoes or, you know, the Survivor or Apprentice guy, and we'll all learn from people that are successful. Respect, he talks about respecting your network. You never know when it could come in handy. You know, that's like when people call you for market survey information. You know, call them back. And if you can't call them back, have someone on your team call them back, because you may need those guys one day. Resourcefulness under pressure. You know, other brokers are our resources. So respect them and let's use them, because you never know where, you know, this is a give and take industry, and they need us and we need them. He's, you know, he talks again about on page 194, don't pitch on the phone. Some people call and go, what do you think about cold calling versus canvassing? Well, you have to cold call the national retailers. I understand that, but I would never cold call the local retailers. If you can drive down the street, drive down the street and get them face to face. He says, enjoy the highs, stay positive, you know, forget about failures, move on. Bandwidth, respect your bandwidth. And, you know, that goes back to the sleep monster. You know, but you can't lease 50 shopping centers at once. You know, you can't, you know, there's only so many hours in the day, and you need to be productive. So understand and respect your bandwidth. He talked about when he was a paratrooper, and we go back to fear of rejection, the paratrooper boss, whatever, the captain said, you know, I want you to I'm taking your wallet and your money, and you got to get from, you know, city A to city B and get something signed by this guy and come back with no money. You know, what a great, you know, and that reminded me of some of the stuff that he has, the people do on Apprentice. But talk about jumping in and not being afraid of failure. You know, he had to ask people to please give him money to get to point A, point B, because he did work. Like, let me wash your dishes for money. So, you know, great experience. You know, it's kind of like when you're a rookie and you know, your bosses send you out canvassing for the first time. You know, you just got to go figure it out. I learned canvassing by doing. The more you do it, the better you hone your craft. Page, near the end, page 270. You know, he talks about new, uncertain, and confusing situations cause us to immediately get real. That's so true. You know, sometimes you walk into a retailer space or you talk to a national retailer and you think that it's heading one way, and it completely turns around and is heading a different way. Keeping flexible, you know, will help us and just take a moment before responding. You know, someone said when you're with a prospect, if you could count 3 seconds before responding, one, it makes the person think you're really listening to them instead of interrupting them and making sure that you get your thought in there. So so in summary, basically, he talked about using your intuition, believing in yourself, listening to your gut instinct, don't overanalyze, don't fear rejection, learn from your mistakes. Pitches in person. Loved that. Make the pitch in person. We're all relying on these computers way too much. You know, if there's 300 national and regional retailers in the world, there's thousands of small businesses. I am such a believer in local businesses, the 3, 4, and 5 store chains. Go out and pitch them in person and get them to fill the vacancies in your shopping centers. The national guys and the regional guys will come. They're all starting to, you know, expand. But, you know, if they're going to do 20 new deals in the country, you know, there's thousands of South Florida and Orlando and Tampa and Jacksonville retailers. Go pitch them in person and get them in your shopping centers. The ropes course, April 2nd. I've got about 16 people signed up. I have 4 more places if you're interested. If you know someone that needs, you know, to add to their self-confidence, to boost it up a bit, I am telling you, this is a life-changing event. It changed my life. I'm so excited to do it again. I can't wait. And it's from 10 to 4. It's at the Broward Community College campus on Griffin and I-95. So all of that's on the website. And then on April 8th, we're doing Azor Career Academy. If you know anyone that wants to get into the commercial real estate business, we have 21 industry speakers speaking to soon-to-be graduates from colleges around the state. There will probably be 70 kids in the audience. And then that night there will be a career fair, a reception with tables with employers. Everyone's guaranteed at least one interview, and I'm going to mentor the students throughout the interview process following the event. So if you're a company that needs to hire or needs interns, you can have a table that night. You can call us for that. So happy St. Patrick's Day. May the luck of the Irish follow you for the rest of the week and the month. And I'll talk to you guys next. We'll let you know the date and the book next month. Take care, guys. Bye-bye.